time for another Do Not Guide Google is Evil video presentation. Yeah. Alright. So, boxes. Getting out of boxes, I guess, will be the subject. And, determinism. So that's the biggest box. Is that the universe is universing. Yeah. It's used the whatever kind of phraseology, and all the little crap that the universe is made out of, the very small universe is the only universe. Okay, so people don't really like physics arguments in philosophy, but whatever, it's part of the facts. And the fact is that there's a tiny universe of stuff that is behaving based on really simple rules, you know, like maybe three of them. Hint, hint. Maybe two. Yeah. Maybe altogether six. There's just this stuff called force. There's this stuff called matter. The force tells the matter where it's going to end up having to go. And when the matter moves around, then it changes what gets reflected and what the force is. You move the sun to a different location, and all the other stuff has to rearrange itself to accommodate that change, because where the forces are has changed. Where if you're closer to the sun, you get more light hitting you, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, so it's just the universe's mechanical thing, determined. And everything we do, okay, is just a byproduct of what the little universe is doing way before us. Okay, it was already on the road, it was already heading right for it. A long time before you realized, and you did it, okay? So it's all, you can just go back two minutes ago, this video was already inevitable. It was already going to happen, it was already decided, and it was 2 hours ago, or 2 days ago, or 2 years ago, two millennia, just doesn't matter. Because there's a mechanical structure that we exist in, and you can't escape it. So that box, you're stuck with. You're never going to get out of that box. Now all the other boxes are, you can get out, but you can't get out by yourself. Some part of the little tiny universe has to put the ladder for you to climb out. Some part of the universe has to provide you the ability to walk out of the box, or jump out of the box, or get out of the box. So let's go all the way to something semi-trivial by comparison to the story. Some ideological notion, Democrat, Republican, to get out of one box and jump in the other stupid box, or to jump in the box that says fuck them both till dead. So it's just going to be little bits of information, little notions. Your best friend is one of them, okay? And he convinces you, he works on you for a while and convinces you, oh, no, you're in the wrong group. You're wearing the wrong colors. Join our gang instead. We're going to make good things happen, all that kind of crap. So it's just going to be a little bit of trivial stuff. Now, the fact is the little universe made the other guy too. It's all part of the script you're going to end up reading. And sometimes, as I'm going to argue, sometimes the script says, look at the script and see how stupid it is and stop reading it. Wait a minute. I can't stop reading the script. So it has to be written into the script that I have some notion in my head that I can look at the script and say, gee, that's a stupid script. I'm not going to be stupid, so I'm going to change the script. No, that is the script. You changing the script is the script. It was already written. That's the movie you're in. Okay, you're in the movie where they change the script. So you see how well the brain works. I mean, it does organize all this stuff. It's all really amazing sometimes when you realize just all the shit it's doing. I mean, all the formation of all these sentences, the whole vocabulary, the whole argument. It's already made the argument before I make the argument. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm going to make these arguments. And it's doing it the whole time. It's remembering, oh yeah, you had a point to make. See, the point would be is that my brain just popped in when I said this, the little magic words of the idea of reading the script, you know, is in the script. I thought of Spaceballs because there's a great scene in Spaceballs, you know, where they can, you know, use Einstein's theory or whatever, and they can see the past and the future, you know, and, you know, well, they can, you know, they have it on video, you know, and they can zoom to the present or they can zoom, you know, back or forward, you know, and so they're watching themselves do a minute from now kind of stuff, you know, and it's just, well, whatever. You get the idea, I think. you know, paradoxically, of course. But that's the idea. The universe has already done all of the, I mean, it's already in the works. It's already inevitable that I say these stupid words that, you know, with some notion in my head, right? My brain is thinking, I need to convince them not to be stupid. How do I do that? But all the strategies that come with everything I do, my brain has a limited number of little things. It's little bumpers. The ball's going to end up bouncing here and bouncing there. And it's all, nothing can screw with it in any way. Nothing can change what it's going to do. See, the other point to make, I guess, is that on the level of the very small universe, there's just no errors. There's no... Whoops. Yeah, there's no miscalculation. It's like some little photon travels gazillions of miles and lands right on the bullseye. I mean, nothing can happen that is against these little, whatever, six rules. Nothing. I mean, nothing can, you know, change the outcome, change the mechanics in any way. Just, you know. Anyway, so back to the boxes thing. It's, you know, the relevancy is in this idea that what we do as calculators, as machines that absorb information and process it, is that we do process it by these, you know, different rules. Rules decided by, you know, how we've evolved and then what culture we're in. You know, there's lots of things that are deciding, programming you. And those programs are, they can change in the sense that change from what they look like now into something else. Now, they'll change for reasons that will be consistent with the mechanical rules of the systems you're involved in. And each one of the systems has rules, each subsystem. So you could break this down into understanding our biology. You know, we have really old pieces of DNA and really, you know, really new pieces in terms of what code has been manipulated in the last 1,000,000 years or in the last, you know, 500 years or in the last 10 years. You know, this is all context to everything we're doing. So it's really complicated in terms of all the stored data, like space balls. You know, it's stored in my brain, whether I like it or not. It's, you know, and unfortunately now, it's even a stronger reference because I've referenced it and used it. It won't be put back in the file cabinet as deep as it was before. It's now a closer to the surface, you know, kind of thing. And those are by rules. So the stuff that gets pulled out of your volume of sentences you could construct is worked on constantly by your brain, and that's how the what we call changing takes place. All right, is referencing and combining and byproduct. But it's all made, it's just like I could metaphor the whole brain as just a bunch of knee jerks. Analogize, I guess is the better word. But anyway, I could do that, and it's true that you're just triggered. There's just a bunch of little triggers that end up making a big trigger in the end. So, and then the real tricky part for us is the distinction between feelings and thoughts. So the calculator that's calculating the concepts, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, it's not a feeling thing, okay? It's a, beyond the fact that your brain has used your feeling capacity to say 4 is the right answer, 3 would be the wrong answer, you know, 5 would be the wrong answer. So your brain has validated the logic by having a reaction that says, yeah, I don't see a problem, you know, that kind of thing. So it looks like a nice, perfect little sunset and a nice, perfect little environment, and there's no mosquitoes, and it all works out. But as soon as the feeling is doom and, ooh, there are mosquitoes and are, you know, some little irregularity, and you go, ah, 2 bites, it can't be quite 4, that isn't right. And you get that uneasiness and blah, 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 blah. So our thoughts and our feelings are always sliding past each other, and you can't separate that they made each other, in a sense. So that's how our conditioning comes into this whole conversation, and our maturation, and what habits we acquire, and what we end up being as reactionary, not because we thought about it or considered it carefully. It's just a visceral reaction because we've been taught, trained to be afraid of certain things. So my brain just said, analogize to the cats and the kitten thing, because, you know, it's happening again in the yard. And, oh, they're just so cute. And you're just like, oh, but they're all doomed. There's going to be some horrible outcome, and I have to witness it, which just sucks. But why does it suck? Well, because I'm emotionally triggered because of the fact that I've had experience with these organisms. And I kind of know that the ones I've had experience with aren't any different fundamentally than the ones I'm seeing, and that they're just as worthy of concern and worry and all of those things as you would have for your own mother and father or any other feeling thing. You know, that you have interacted with in some way to identify with their circumstance, to feel their pain, so to speak. And so I'm triggered. I can't, you know. Now, if somebody could convince me, oh, they're not worth your thoughts, they're not worth worrying about, they're not, you know, and that could say, well, they could try to convince me. But I guess I would argue that I have a box, a concept box, that makes that impossible. So just like I know 2 + 2 = 4, I know, okay, that feelings are all we're in this for. And it's all, the only place the value comes from is how does an event affect feeling shit in the universe? And you just judge whether the event is, gee, we should have, the universe should have stopped that, or the universe shouldn't have. It's either the universe should buy the deal and do it, or the universe failed to be optimum. It failed to create an outcome that was productive, a good deal. They failed to make a good purchase. How else did they fail to mix the ingredients to create the cake? It fell. Whatever. It was not a success. So that's already built in. Somebody's not going to be able to convince me of that, because I've already processed this over and over and over again, and I know the only thing that matters is what happens to me. What matters, what happens to me, isn't whether or not, what thoughts I have, or, no, what matters is whether I end up in some horrible circumstance feeling intensely unpleasant feelings. That's the biggest worry. That's certainly the most concerning thing. It's the, it's the elephant in the room. You can't really miss it. That's what I'm here doing, is being vulnerable to experiences. And they can be pleasant or unpleasant. And there's this really giant difference between pleasant and unpleasant. I guess those aren't the best words to use, but there can be a giant difference between the quality of the experience in terms of its having do it again value versus never do it again value. And that is intrinsic. It's in one of those biggest boxes of facts. It's a fact you really just can't escape unless you break logic, you break all concepts that are, in my opinion, just the evidence is overwhelming. There's just no way to still be reasonable and say something as stupid as, it doesn't matter. Torture, fun, same thing. Now, if you're saying that, you are insanely stupid. Your brain is completely illogical. You might as well say 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4. That 2-ness plus 2-ness doesn't equal 4-ness. It's that stupid. Alright. Time for a break. Okay. I'll be back shortly. See, for me, it'll be a much longer time. So that's the only... that's the only time dilation there is that, this is the only time dilation, is that I can say something, I can go reprocess it and do a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to come back really short for you. You're not going to have time to do anything. It's going to happen so fast. It's funny. Funny to me. See, funny to me because of a whole bunch of context of silly conversations with morons about how the physical universe works. And they really are morons. Anyway, idiots, fools, dupes. They're conceptually retarded. So I guess that's a fairly accurate way to say it. Alright, I'm back. Didn't do much with the time. Thought about different boxes, like Nazis could be a box, and, we escaped the Nazi box, by having, by creating a bunch of actions, by, seeing the Nazis, saying they're bad, going through this whole process, and then motivating people to go stop them, okay. And using all kinds of mechanisms to motivate them. And then I started thinking about the mechanisms, like a draft or something, and getting in the military. And I wondered how many people, they made more money in the military than they were at their regular job. And you're saying, different, just how many people were really inconvenienced, okay, versus the ones who, hey, my life was improved. That kind of thing. And then you get into the whole how the price of something is distributed among people and how uneven all of that price paying thing is. No good deed goes unpunished kind of point to make. And how then everybody should be kind of aware of, oh, gee, that's probably enough right there, right? I mean, the fact that deserve often, like really often, has nothing to do with it, that the price, the pain and suffering, the bad luck, however you want to describe the bad event, the murder of your wife and children, whatever, is not distributed, in any kind of rational way. The bad people don't have pleasant lives, and the good people don't have pleasant lives, and the reward and punishments are all broken. And right now, in our civilizations, we're breaking them even more. You know, everybody's turning the poor criminals into a victim. You know, and the poor victims are somehow harassing, you know, the good little criminals. It's so bad that you're just saying, oh, fuck. How can anybody say there's anything good going on here in terms of the overall idea of being a sentient intelligence? You know, is that really a good idea when everything is so fucked up and so scummy and so back-assward? It's laughably ridiculous to think that people are actually making these pro-life arguments in that circumstance. Just too fucking stupid. Too fucking ignorant. I mean, but it's just because there's a box, you know, their little God box or their little hope box or their little, there's some stupid little box, okay, that's forcing them to make these rationalizations and justifications. Some of it is, you know, they have kids, and so of course they have to pretend they didn't commit a crime by having them. So they have to say there's some reason for hope, because they have to justify their own actions and make them seem reasonable and not evil and not maliciously cruel and not all the stuff they actually were, you know, where they didn't really think about it and they were reckless and they were vain and they were all these negative things, and that's the reason why this thing, this event of making people happen for them was for all the wrong reasons, and they don't want to just admit, yeah, I did everything I've done in my life has been for wrong reasons. They don't want to concede, okay, that, yeah, they suck. They really didn't do any of this. How is this really going to affect the welfare of the universe in terms of its overall brain feel, you know, its overall, what's it experiencing today? And that's all there is, right? So again, I'm just going to argue the box you have to be in to be reasonable is the box that recognizes all where the only job here, the only event in this Olympics, the only thing to do is to properly organize, you know, allow the facts to process in your brain undisturbed by stupid boxes and allow yourself to do some logic, and your brain will logically deduce danger Will Robinson. I mean, there's so many ways this goes bad and so few ways it goes anywhere called good. You know, in terms of good for some real reason, like you're going to cure the universe's urinary blockage, like, you know, the that somehow humans beings doing their little bullshit is somehow going to fix something in the universe that was broken. No, they're not. They're not going to do any of that. They're not white blood cells going out into the universe to cure it of the disease, the invading badness. We're the badness, okay? We're the disease. Oh, it's just so ironic. All right, so... So I guess the idea is that the concept, the knowledge of the determinism of the mechanical universe is a box, and you really can't escape. In terms of if you're going to do logic and reasoning, you're going to logically reason. Yes, there's no God. We're not a video game. We're not blah, blah, blah. We're run by a mechanical universe that does very mechanical things by very few dumb, stupid rules. And the fact is those dumb, stupid rules can pile on to each other in little environments like Earth. All the junk can get quite eccentric in all the little traps in the eddies. A stream is a very simple mechanical thing, right? It's just water at a certain height in gravity, and it's going to fall to another location, but it's doing it across a lumpy bed narrows and all of those and the rules of where the it's meandered and how much silt is in the water and how much CO2 is in the water. Lots of rules, and they're going to, all kinds of stuff is going to spin around in locations and look like it's doing something complicated. And it is complicated. But it's made out of really simple rules. And that metaphor, that analogy for what we are as a species and as life on Earth and as a construct in the universe, it's just an eddy. It's just complexity. It really doesn't have any other, relevant. There's no, the relevant facts kind of run out. And the key point to make, though, is one of the complexities is this perception, this capacity to be conscious and to have what's called a feeling. If we didn't have feelings, again, all of these conversations would be completely pointless. It wouldn't matter whether we babbled at each other, we lied to each other, nothing would matter. Because the outcome would be irrelevant, because there's nothing for the humans to do. They can't get the right answer about what road should we take. The road where we don't feel anything and nothing happens, or the road where we don't feel anything and nothing meaningful happens. It really wouldn't, it couldn't possibly matter. Failure is the same as success, whatever it would be based on. It couldn't even be based on anything, because success is about a good feeling. And the minuscule amount of logic you have to figure out to say, well, if I'm feeling good, everything's good in the universe. Well, that's really stupid. You have to calculate everything's feelings. You have to recognize that it all matters, not just your little brain. All the brains matter. All that's going on in all the brains matters. It's all part of the equation of, is this a good state or a bad state? And you have to figure out, not, well, I'm doing all right. Irrelevant, meaningless, just too stupid. It's not a real number. It doesn't belong in the calculator anywhere. The, how am I doing? Who cares? Who should care? Obviously, it matters on how much you stepped on, and how much you kicked, and how much you abused, and how much you exploited, and how many people you lied about, what kind of transgressions, what kind of acts you committed, what kind of selfish acts, let's say, self-interested acts that left somebody else paralyzed, that kind of shit. So, it's so elemental. And it just leads to all the rest of it. It just leads to all of the catastrophic thinking that'll doom you to depression. But, it's the truth that everything you do is changing the universe and changing the environment and changing what's going on planet Earth. And it's just a fact. You can't scratch the paint off of, there's barely anything you can do that you can say, well, that has limited change potential. I got a little hangnail here, I could pull it off now, or I could wait till later. That's probably not going to change much. But you can't even know that. There's no way to dismiss how small the change has to be to affect what would be a grandiose and gigantic change in the universe. You can put them in categories. It's very highly unlikely that certain things you do are going to change whether the Nazis win the war, you let the air tire, you don't feel like being a soldier today, so you let the air out of the Jeep tire. maybe you're not going to lose the war because you did that. But maybe your best friend will get killed. So that's another obvious reason, right? It's just, to me, the fact that we can't possibly calculate sitting here. We can't process all the information in any way to know what buttons to push. So we're in this, you know, we're in this lunar module or whatever, right? And there's millions of people's welfare at stake. Yeah. And we're sitting at the control panel and there's all these fucking buttons. You know, there's so many different words I could say and there's so many different things I could press. And I can't really know which one's going to make the right answer, which one's the right button to press. I mean, it's reason enough to say, sitting in that situation, why the fuck would I put somebody in that jerky circumstance? Oh, it's all riding on me. The whole outcome of the universe is dependent on me. Fuck. But the truth is that's the position we're stuck in. Somebody's going to be stuck being that key figure, the key little virus, okay, that, you know, creates the disease that cures the worst disease, or however you want to look at it. We're all capable of being essentially important. And I'm just saying that everybody should be sitting here saying, you know, yeah, I can see it in my own life. I can see how difficult it is. You don't know whether to, you know, somebody's got a problem and you don't know whether, well, should I be kind and say, well, I'm so sorry. Well, if I say I'm so sorry, well, then I'm going to make them feel like they're more in trouble, you know, like their disease will kill them. And, oh, gee, well, you had such an, you know, what do I say? How do I, you know, you know, because any button I push, you know, who knows? Did I just break their heart? You know, who wants this? Who thinks that's fun? So they're all basically saying, well, nobody's doing that. Nobody's going to think all those things. No one's going to have all of those worrisome thoughts about all the crap they're getting themselves into, and by getting themselves into it, dragging other people into it. And so it's all, you know, the box they're in is the delusion that somehow if you don't think about it, it isn't a real thing happening in the game. And it is. It's, you know, you can extract a sound out of the environment. You could create yourself a little noise filter and make sure that makes all certain words not, you won't ever hear them again. You know, does that mean the world isn't running on that stuff? No. So, I mean, it's just running away from the calculator's responsibility to be honest to the environment it's calculating. You know, pretending, you know, the danger doesn't exist. And just for the sake of, well, it's not very likely, so if I pretend it doesn't exist, then I won't worry about it, then I'll have a better time, and I'll have a more enjoyable swim or whatever, because I won't worry about sharks or whatever it is. And, you know, so you're conceding, in a sense, if you're going to argue that, you know, stupidity wins. And it wins, not only wins in the short run, because you're inevitably setting up the circumstance that you're trying to prevent. You're inevitably going to make it happen. So it's worrisome enough it was going to be you. But as long as it happens to somebody else, it's not so worrisome. And so again, that gets back to the real evil of the fact that we're doing this living thing individually, subjectively, without being able to feel their pain. So, out of mind, out of sight. And, you know, but once you say those words, out of mind, out of sight, now you have a concept, and you can be a Nazi for it. You can be a believer. Well, damn it, that's what's really happening here. It's really out of mind, out of sight, doesn't exist, I am pretending, I'm living in a fake world. You know, that I've blinders, Borg, the whole, you know, programmed, duped, you know, all these negative ideas is essentially you're being, you're living a lie, and you're fake, you're phony, you know, but you're not living in the real universe with the real consequences, with the real outcomes, because you've negated their importance by saying something stupid like, all I can do is take care of me. I can only worry about what I'm doing. Well, that's not good enough. How I'm feeling. That I can acquire a certain habit or a discipline that works. And therefore, because I did it, that's all that needs to be done. And no, the idea is it doesn't change the obligation to correct all the inefficiencies that still exist in the environment. Delusions that your kid is going to be just too stupid. When, all the evidence points to, it's going to be the anti-you, if anything. If there's going to be any you-ness to it, it's going to be the anti-you more likely than the you. It's going to be closer to, then. And so all of this bullshit where you're saying, well, I'm doing okay, or I'm managing, or blah, 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 doesn't have any applicability to the thing you're creating. It's not the same potato. It's not in the same field. it's just like there's so many things distant from it. And how could you pretend that when you look over the potatoes, they don't all look so good? Things aren't working so good. A lot of broken potatoes. A lot of smushed kittens. Well, your cat's okay, yeah. It's not enough. You gotta go a little further than that before you say, oh, cat is a good idea. Because my cat's fine. Yeah, that's not good enough. All right. Find another break. See what happens. All right, should be back. So my brain was just going through, reminiscing about all the, all the points in my life where I was missing sufficient data, to be able to decide correctly about what my course of action would be. So, so this is all stuff I was thinking about that was like between the age of 5 and 6, somewhere in those kind of ranges. And so I remember my first criminal act, there was some kid that was older, I don't know, 10, something like that, much older. And, he convinced me that somehow it was a good idea for us to go steal some gasoline to make a Molotov cocktail and stick it in the, in an excavated basement, which was really unusual. I didn't even know what it was because it was Louisiana and nobody had a base. I never saw a basement. So it was another one of those things where I grew up and I didn't even know the concept existed. It was like, basement? What the hell is that? It's almost like garage. Nobody had garages. They just had carports, just roofs over cars. But anyway, so it was just kind of weird. Just because, my life experience was, lacked these bits of information about how the real world works. Well, anyway, then I sat here thinking about why do they make basements, with such low ceilings? I mean, it seems to me that it would be worthwhile to have even a higher ceiling in the basement. You don't have to dig it deeper, just make the house higher. Just because there's all kinds of advantage in hiding all the utilities and all that kind of stuff and still having a gigantic hunk of living space that's really neat because it has a nice solid floor and all that kind of crap and doesn't squeak and do all the other crap that's sort of annoying. I mean, it makes sense to me, but, whatever. I mean, the little bit of extra money for the, the 300 extra cinder blocks would probably be worth it. So I don't think they calculated quite right. Anyway, I was thinking about it. How was I convinced that this was a worthwhile thing to do? And I can't remember how I got convinced. Maybe it was just that he was older and I thought he knew what he was doing and this was somehow a good idea and all that kind of crap. But then I thought about this was like, okay, once you start doing the anti what you're supposed to do. You know, I've been told I'm not supposed to do these things, and I start doing them. And I thought about it, and then, you know, I stole a turtle from a church, okay, which you know, that took some sort of courage, you know, to contrive a whole, you know, I mean, I figured out how to make the turtle fall out the window, and I could find the turtle outside, and, you know, I did this whole elaborate thing. Was that really needed to have a turtle? And I knew, my parents, you know, we lived kind of meagerly. You know, it's not like we're poor, but my father liked vacations. And so, yeah, he had to save money for the vacation. And so, yeah, it was kind of meager. You didn't get extras. You know, my first bicycle wasn't, you know, it was a used bicycle, and it was, you know, way too big, and I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't turn it in the street. It was just too much, you know, too little kid. I couldn't reach the pedal. The whole thing was just, and so, you know, I had to just go down the street, and I had to crash into somebody's front yard. They had a little hill and a tree, and so I would just crash into the hill and the tree, you know, and that's how I turned around. But anyway, just a little anecdotal crapola. And so then, you know, when I went to school, kindergarten, or I guess it was first grade, but it was probably kindergarten, they had magnets that stuck on a board, you know, just like this. Little plastic numbers and letters and shit. And I was fascinated. I mean, you know, I had to have magnets. So I picked the letters up and looked at them, and, oh, yeah, you can pop the magnet out. This is the part that's important. So I stole all the magnets. But I was so stupid that I, for show and tell, I brought the magnets into show and tell. You know, just not realizing that. See, I thought the people were really, really, I guess I thought they were so stupid, because I'm saying, well, don't they know the really cool thing is the magnet and the stupid number or the letter on it is like, who the fuck cares about that shit? Magnet, it's a fucking magnet, you know. So I guess I thought they would never put together the obvious that the numbers aren't sticking because I took the magnets. And somehow I could bring the magnets in and they wouldn't put the, you know, connect the dots and figure out, well, those are the magnets that are missing from our little letters. And you're a thief. So, you know, I think they had corporal punishment back then. So I actually do think I got paddled for that one. But anyway. So, you know, these are just the boxes you're in. You know, the box of your limited information. And so we all can say, yes, there were times in my life where I had limited information. You know, we all had those kinds of bits of limited information where I didn't have enough information to be able to process how wrong or stupid or unproductive or destructive, you know, how much damage I was doing with my little prank. I did some things on, you know, mischief nights were kind of a thing when I was a kid. And, you know, when I think back, man, I was such an asshole. Oh, it's just depressing to, you know, that was really, if I was the guy I did that to, I'd be pissed. Ew. Don't, you know, that's when memories aren't much fun. But anyway, so the point is that, yeah, so you go through your life and you just acquire all these little bits and pieces. And I'd say the important bit is to realize that as much as I think people are assholes and douchebags and fuckheads and all that crap, it doesn't matter. Their brain is in a state. It's feeling. And it matters how they feel. And as much as I'd like them to feel really shitty and die, the fact is, I can't defend that as the best outcome. The best outcome is they just die. Yeah, they stop being assholes. They stop hurting other things. But my visceral, well, the deserve should have something to do with it first. You know, first you should make them say uncle. make them admit they suck. Yeah, but that just entertains my emotions. That just entertains my bad conditioning. Doesn't logically make any sense. But again, but the overall view is yeah, I just, you know, you can't live your life thinking, well, I'm doing okay. Just too stupid. Because you're doing okay is not what's happening in the box. It's not the box. It's not the truth. What's happening to you isn't the truth of what the universe is doing relevant to conscious, sentient chemistry. And then you could get into an argument about, so one of the, you know, you can get into these arguments about the physics and what's possible and whether there's a life in the universe and all that, la, la, la. And, you know, I could argue that the facts are pretty much dictate that no way, okay, it's not happening. So what we're doing is extraordinarily bizarre, for chemistry. Chemistry just doesn't do this shit. But it's totally useless. It can't possibly be a good idea because it opens the door to all the bad. There's no bad in the universe until you show up with a feeling thing and hurt it. Cause it grief and pain and suffering. The universe is bad free. So you're just introducing the cancer, so to speak, the troublemaker, by creating this complex machinery to do a stupid thing, which is just reproduce and die for evolution, and in the bigger box part, just read a dumb script. You know, just go through a mechanical process of spinning in the eddy and then running out of energy and falling. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing good going on. There's nothing relevant to best performance, or whatever you'd call it, the best form of a piece of matter can be in. The best form or the best environment, the best condition is not the condition of being insanely complicated and having all kinds of bizarre electrical crap that creates an illusion of that hurt. Yeah. All right, so it's probably enough. I mean, you can go through, you know, how many other little facts are necessary, but I'm just saying the key one is recognizing my brain is doing this feeling thing. Yes, I'm very different than all the other feeling people, and I'm different than all the feeling animals, but the basic function is the same, okay, and it really doesn't matter whether, you know, as Coke machines go, it doesn't matter whether it's got warm Coke, cold Coke, you know, 5-year-old Coke, whatever. It doesn't matter whether it's even an arsenic machine. The machine function is the same. The basic function is the same. The basic quality of it, the substance of it, the, you know, it's the same. And if my brain is concerned that harm doesn't happen inside this brain, there's no rational reason for it not to be equally concerned about harm happening to some other brain. It being manifesting terror and fear and, you know, all the sensations that I find abysmal and, you know, horrid. And threatening and all of that crap. And once you go there, you're done, because it's just too depressing. It's too, fuck this. I mean, how is there's just no way to manage this. All right, so the other part I guess I wanted to talk about a little bit, just because I thought about it when I was thinking about my previous manifestation of a form of life on Earth, my ignorant youth, was just how driven it was by such trivial crap, like the very fact that I was just a curious kid and I really wanted to know, oh, you're going to make a bomb? Oh, yeah, I want to know bombs. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So I wanted to know. So that's what was driving me, was kind of a hunger for solving those kinds of mysteries. That's the obsession with the magnets, the obsession with electricity. I was quite driven to understand, what the hell you're talking about? There's sparky stuff in the frickin' wall? wait. No, I gotta know what the fuck you're talking about. It just had to have answers. Brain worked that way. The world was, oh yeah, so, and then the rest of your life is all this distraction with the, the whole whatever penis fun thing, the sex thing, the, and just when I think about how many hours, how much of my brain was just wasted modeling, my way to navigate something that's, that should be really simple, frankly. It should have been very simple, to find the proper fuckable. What a mess that is, right? Because even, you find something intriguing and interesting, and and then it comes with all of these liabilities, It comes with her family, it comes with this, it comes with, and it's just, oh, fuck this. And then you have to worry about all these words you can use. No, I'm not saying you're getting fat. I'm just saying you could not be as big, right? You got to play all these games. And, fuck this. So it all turns to shit. And, it just kind of, well, anyway, my plans, none of them ever worked, so I had to keep working on it for quite a while, just trying to get there. And then once you get there, you find out, this brain thing sucks, because the more I have, the more I want. So, fuck, that sucks. So, you find out it doesn't work, that you're not made to be ideally situated and comfortable. You're sort of made to always be seeking perfection and seeking to fix. At least I'm saying my brain. It's, so it was a little bit, maybe that's just my personal compulsion, that it always finds these defects. It's sort of, I made the argument, you can get a new car and, like a week later, like, oh God, it has 4 scratches on it. you're fretting about, just such trivial shit. And, you're building up dissatisfaction. You're building up problems. You're making them. And, those were such little boxes I was in, considering the world and how fucked it was. And I wasn't really paying much attention to that, because I was more paying so much attention to just the little box of getting my place in the world, my some kind of secure, comfortable place to breathe easy. And I just never could find that place. But anyway. Struggle, struggle, struggle. Eek, eek, eek. And that's all it's been. It's, 60 years of just try to not get squished. Try not to get run over by a car. Try not to let the evil forces squish you. Shit. And that's, it's, it's been a lot of, felt like a lot of work, and I think it has been a lot of work. It's been an arduous task, navigating my existence. But anyway, don't want to dwell on it. We all have to make the best of the circumstance, try to keep ourselves focused and strong, endeavor to persevere. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I'll do. And yeah, so this is really the subject, right? I'm just saying there's only like five things you have to know, okay? And once you know those five things, it's game over. I mean, this whole thing is ludicrous. It's just too stupid. And it's our obligation to make it understood that, what are you doing, people? What are you proing this crap for? This is such bullshit. It's such nonsense to be wasting complexity in this, you know, feeling, emotional conditioning spiral of bullshit. Fuck that. Either make a thinking machine or make something that just sits around and goes, I feel good. Or don't bother making either one. It's even better. Because neither one is going to solve anything. Neither one is going to make the universe a safer or better place. So quit selling the shit. It's a lemon. Life is a lemon. You suck if you're selling one. Alright, anyway. Yeah, so that's enough. Okay, yeah. So, till the next time and such. This has been Do Not God. Google is Evil video presentation. Thank you for your attention. Blah, 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 blah. And such. And so forth and whatnot.